This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, the weekly Saskatchewan Crop Report is out. We'll speak with Agriculture Crops Extension Specialist Matt Struthers about how harvest progress has come along in this province and more specifically in the east central region of Saskatchewan. Meanwhile, lentils. Canada usually produces 45% of global lentils, with nearly all of that grown in Saskatchewan. However, this year's drought-reduced crop is going to put pressure on our two main export markets from last year, India and Turkey. We'll hear from a number of people who were taking part yesterday in the Canadian Pulse and Special Crops Convention. The Canadian Federation of Agriculture will host a National Agriculture Leaders Debate tonight, and we will hear from CFA First Vice President Keith Curry about that. We will also have our Week 5 winner of the Harvest Edition of GX94 Supper in the Field on tonight's program, Courtney Orthner of Raymore. All that and much more coming up on today's edition of GX in Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, it's quite sunny here in the Yorkton area today, and it looks like we could get some pretty warm temperatures before the day's out.
Yeah, temperatures already out of the teens into the 20s through the afternoon. South to southeast wind helping out that warming for today up to around, I'll say 27 if you do it for the high. There is a frontal boundary approaching, though. So the warmest of the air is really here today, and then it starts to slide. High pressure, though, is really in control across a large section of the U.S. And one of the high nodes is sitting in the western Great Lakes. That's extending up into western Ontario. The western high is not extending as far northward because things are actually fairly active over the western parts of Canada. That's trying to slide a little bit of a front southward. We've seen a few showers over parts of British Columbia. Not as much across areas to the east, but as this front basically is forced to ride north of that high, sitting over the central Rockies, we're going to see these showers expanding east-northeastward. That will bring them a little more across Alberta and potentially across Saskatchewan tomorrow. But again, this whole system is really tracking a little bit to the north, and I think that will steer a lot of the moisture north of us as it goes by. Not ruling out showers. Certainly, there is the potential there, but a lot of the heavier stuff should stay well north, and we'll get a secondary push of showers that likely will come in during the the later part of the day tomorrow, and then we clear right back out. The second wave, I should say, comes in Saturday morning. That, again, not doing much. A lot of it falls apart. It looks impressive as it approaches, and then it just hits some drier air and collapses. That's why I'm not really raising the chance of rain, even with that second wave coming through. One more wave. This one looks a little bit stronger. It's actually a whole other storm system Sunday night into Monday. That's our next chance of showers. The chance still low just because of the positioning. It may track north of us. Little uncertainty there, but potential for some more significant showers where it hits. As we break it down, a little cloudiness through the night tonight and into tomorrow. After 27 today, we fall to 13 tonight. The wind will settle down. It's up, gusting over 35 this afternoon, dropping into the 10 to 20 range tonight. Tomorrow picks right back up. That's that first wave 1A from this system. 24 the high tomorrow, wind gusting over 40 kilometers per hour. Best chance for showers tomorrow is in the afternoon. Still, the chance really not much better than 20% for any of us. Clearing back out for Friday night, cloudy in the evening, but then clear overnight down to 6. Partly sunny on Saturday with a high of 18. Watching the mid-morning hours Saturday would be our best chance for any showers there. Sunday, partly sunny with a high of 19. Couple of showers Sunday night into Monday. A little better chance, about 40% during the night. Leftover stuff ends on Monday, partly sunny, high 20.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour: The Paw, Swan River, Dauphin, Show Lake, Russell, and Roblin all reporting in at 21 degrees. Brandon is at 18. Regina, 23. Saskatoon, 18. Hudson Bay, 22. Broadview, Mooseman, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, 25. Indian Head, 27. The Yorkton-Melville region has a sunny sky, a south-southeast wind at 22 kilometers an hour. 40% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 23 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of 23 degrees and dropped to a low of 8 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is 18 degrees. The normal low is 5 degrees. The sun rose in Yorkton at 6:16 this morning, and it will set at 7:18 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was Melitta at 24 degrees. The cold spot, Grand Rapids, at plus 6 degrees. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was a tie between Leader and Maple Creek, which both got up to 29 degrees. The cold spot was Spiritwood at plus 2 degrees. And that's your agriculture weather. Please stay tuned. GX and Agriculture will return right after these messages. Welcome back to GX and Agriculture. Saskatchewan's weekly crop report was released this morning. Saskatchewan Agriculture Crops Extension Specialist Matt Struthers says producers have been making great harvest progress.
Yeah, you know, even despite the rains, there wasn't too many delays, and we're sitting at 56% of the crop now in the bin, and that's up from 36% last week, and well ahead of the five-year average of 35%. So harvest is really chugging along, and we're way ahead of where we normally are, and I'm sure we're setting a record.
How much crop has been swathed or is ready to straight cut now?
There is an additional 24% of the crop that is either swathed or ready to straight cut. So that's a very large number, and it'll probably be picked up, or the majority of that will probably be picked up or cut this week.
Can you break down the harvest progress region by region?
Sure can. The Southwest region has always been making the most progress, and they're sitting at 75% of the crop now combined, followed by the Southeast with 67%, the West Central with 58, the East Central with 38, the Northeast with 47, and the Northwest with 37. So lots of progress, and like I said before, we're sitting at a spot where normally we aren't sitting at, so well ahead of where we normally are.
What types of crops are already in the bin?
For fall cereals, they're all off, either combined or used up as feed or silage. But 96% of field pea, 93% of lentils, 74% mustard, 66% barley, 75% durum, 58% spring wheat, and 31% of canola has been combined. There's an additional 44% of canola that's swathed or ready to straight cut. So canola is always the last thing to usually go, and producers are making quick work of it, though.
And you have some yield numbers this week?
I do, yeah. This is the first time we've released yields. And so the estimated average yields at this time are 27 bushels per acre for hard spring wheat, 19 bushels per acre for durum, 38 bushels per acre for barley, 20 bushels for canola, 21 bushels per acre for field pea, and 817 pounds per acre for lentils. Anyone who has been following agriculture for the last however many years knows that those yields are far lower than they should be or average, and that's greatly attributed to the drought conditions of the season and that really big heat wave in July and parts of August that were during critical times of the growing season.
I see a community nearby received a large amount of rain last week.
Yeah, just northeast of Yorkton there at Rhine, I want to say, pronounce it. Could be rain, I don't know, because it rained about 4 inches at this producer's farm. So they got a whack of rain in a very short amount of time. And they told me that they experienced some flooding and they still have quite a bit of water sitting in their field. So that's unfortunate and certainly is delaying their harvest. But the one good thing about the rain is that it's able to creep that topsoil moisture up in that area, but for other areas that didn't get rain, it's slightly deteriorated. But so for cropland, topsoil moisture is rated as 1% surplus, 38% adequate, 38% short, and 23% very short. Hay and pasture is rated as 1% surplus, 25% adequate, 39% short, and 35% very short. And that's actually improved this week, which is very nice to see.
So what damaged crops over the past week?
The biggest concerns for crop damage this week were just some strong winds, you know, blowing swaths around and shelling out seed on pods, and then just the ongoing drought damage that we've seen all year, and then hail. There's a really large hailstorm up around the Humboldt area. That ranged from very severe damage to minor, and some crops were lost, and then some were just yield was lost from being shelled out or flattened.
And what are producers up to right now?
Well, they're busy, down in the south, west and east and west central right now. They're, and everywhere, I suppose, that didn't get rain. They're busy combining, swathing, baling and baling straw and hauling bales. There's been reports of balers falling right behind the combine picking up straw. So they're getting that up and off the field for cattle producers to start moving or to use. And then cattle producers are moving cattle and hauling water and trying to get take a real inventory of their winter feeds before it gets cold.
That's Matt Struthers. He compiles the weekly crop report for the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program. That's a presentation of Peebles Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
GX94, Ag Review.
Canadian canola ending stocks were down sharply at the end of 2020-21 compared to the previous marketing year, but still came out well ahead of trade expectations. Many other crops also saw larger than expected carryout numbers in Statistics Canada's principal field crop stocks report as of July 31st, which was released yesterday. According to Markets Farm Pro analyst Mike Jubenville, the latest numbers have exceeded many trade estimates. Canola stocks decreased by 48.6% on the year to 1.8 million metric tons as of July 31st, their lowest level since 2017. Despite lower wheat production, 2020-21 ending stocks were 5.71 million metric tons, an increase of 3.7%. Ending stocks for barley reached a record low of 711,100 metric tons, a drop of 25.7% from the year before. On the other hand, oat ending stocks rose 54.7% to 658,500 metric tons on the strength of declining domestic use and higher opening stocks, which led to increases in both on-farm and commercial stocks. Dry pea stocks saw the largest gains out of all Canadian principal crops, rising by 105.6% to 478,500 metric tons as of July 31st, compared to the previous year. Lentil stocks nearly doubled, jumping by 94.3% to 405,600 metric tons, as declining exports to India, Bangladesh, and Turkey kept more of the crop at home. Considering both peas and lentils are approaching historical highs in prices, Jubenville is skeptical about Statistics Canada's estimates. Jubenville also questions the methodology of collecting on-farm old crop stocks data, adding it should have been done in July for Statistics Canada's August crop estimate report rather than in May and June in order to get more accurate numbers instead of extrapolations. three nominees have been acclaimed to the Saskatchewan Pulse Growers Board of Directors following the close of nominations in early September. The SPG had called for nominations for three positions on the Board of Directors and received three nominations. As such, the candidates will be acclaimed. Mario Gaudette of Melville will join the Board of Directors in January. Trent Richards of Assiniboia will continue into his third term, and Sean Durland of Kyle will continue into his second term on the board. Chad Dirksen chose not to rerun and will be departing the board in January after serving a three-year term. The new director terms will begin following the Saskatchewan Pulse Growers Annual General Meeting set for January 10th at Prairieland Park in Saskatoon and virtually online. BASF Canada has committed $250,000 to the University of Saskatchewan's Western College of Veterinary Medicine to help establish a research chair position focusing on pollinator health and biodiversity. The $50,000 per year contribution over 5 years will go towards the creation of a permanent tenured veterinary research chair with a focus on pollinator health and biodiversity. Located in Saskatoon, the new research chair will build a team of researchers who will generate valuable data, knowledge, and insights around pollinator health and agricultural sustainability. The chair's role will also include communicating critical data and research directly to beekeepers and farmers, which will enhance the agriculture industry's profitability and sustainability. The exchange between farmers and pollinators will allow both industries to thrive, providing pollinators with the benefits of abundant nectar and pollen from commercial crops and native grassland, while enhancing crop and forage yields through increased pollinator activity. Once total funding is secured, the Western College of Veterinary Medicine plans to conduct a search to fill the research chair's role, a recruiting process that the college hopes to begin in 2022. And that's the AgriView portion of our program. Please stay tuned. GX and Agriculture will return after these messages. Welcome back to GX and Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. It's sunny and 23 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. Well, Canada usually produces 45% of global lentils, with nearly all of that grown in Saskatchewan. However, this year's drought-reduced crop is going to put pressure on our two main export markets from last year, India and Turkey. Marlena Borsch with Mercantile Consulting Venture in Winnipeg provided the lentil market outlook yesterday at the Canadian Pulse and Special Crops Convention.
Exports will fall short of our potential, and I think we will at best export 1.95 million tons compared to 2.5 million tons in the previous crop year. Ending stocks will be small at the end of the year. And again, you know, this will also influence the seasonality of prices.
There will be pressure on buyers in Turkey and India to source lentil supplies. Australia will have a decent-sized red lentil crop in a couple of months, but it's not good enough to make up for a shortfall in Canadian production. Borsch says the outlook for red and green lentils will remain very good into 2022.
So we see there's little room to ease prices until next year's ACOs become defined. And we have to keep in mind here that prices for new crop will have to be fairly good because other commodities are also much higher priced than we have seen in previous years. So there will be competition for acreage.
Nathan Bueller is the International Marketing Manager for Schooler Canada. He believes lentil area will rise in Saskatchewan next year.
I think growers are looking at cost of seed, whether it be canola or different things. And certainly I think growers in all origins are going to react to some of these very lofty lentil numbers. And potentially if every origin reacts the same and we do get some normal weather, we could, you know, soon kind of replenish the supply chain. But there's a lot of ifs in there.
Bueller says lentil prices jumped earlier this summer, but have dropped back a bit since then.
It's important to note that, you know, lentils move maybe a little quicker than a lot of other commodities, and at one point, you know, we're really closing in on the price of some other proteins, whether that be chicken or whether that be edible beans. And I think that's all part of the reason why values have taken a step back here for now. Obviously, over the longer term, values are going to be well supported, but it was a pretty dramatic move over a short period of time. There's a lot of countries that are fighting the food inflation, and we've seen some different policies out of Turkey as of late, and India several weeks back in terms of, you know, their policy. But so I think we're going to see more of that.
As for lentil prices,
you know, in terms of recent numbers, we've heard, you know, some 53, maybe 55 cents paid on reds. And again, it's kind of backed off to under 50 today. Where does that go? There's probably room to revisit those highs and maybe slightly higher. Layered lentils, you know, we've heard some mid 60s. Again, depending on countries' appetite to kind of take on the ownership at those kind of levels. Again, I certainly think we'll revisit those highs in time. What our consuming countries need to be able to buy at these kind of levels is some sort of confidence in the market. And so when we see the kind of volatility that we're seeing, like I said, on red lentils as an example, it doesn't create that confidence for them to want to buy, you know, a record high price when the price has already come down. However, it's likely to go back higher. So I think we need to restore some confidence in the market before we'll see some active trade and getting close to those numbers.
Another factor will be the cost and availability of containers.
You know, looking at some of the numbers, you know, today versus what we're paying, you know, a year ago to a lot of major destinations, we're up more than $55 a ton from what we were paying last year. So that just continues to be a challenge.
Elise Simpson-Fraser is the president and CEO of Simpson Seeds in Moose Jaw.
Growers are still, you know, in the fields, for one. So some of them aren't actively marketing right now. The second thing that's going to be a major factor for them is crop insurance claims. So that's the next thing on their list. Crop insurance here in Canada does move fairly quickly. They're going to be full of insurance claims, and they pay out those checks quite quickly, usually by November-ish. So then you're going to have a grower that's, you know, cashed up fairly well, and they've delivered what they can right now to commit to any new crop production that they did have. So I don't think there's a lot of pressure on a grower to sell right at this point in time, which means I'm not sure pulling prices back too much is going to do much. I think we're going to have to, you know, show some stability for a number of weeks, and then you might get some engagement.
The preceding comments were made during a panel discussion on lentils during the Canadian Pulse and Special Crops Convention yesterday. It's time now for the livestock market conditions and their presentation of Heartland Livestock in Yorkton.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for October closed at 123.75 today. That's up 65. December live cattle closed at 128.80, up 15. October feeder cattle closed at 159.25, down 2. November feeder cattle closed at 161.22, down 20. October lean hogs closed at 85.47, down 190. December lean hogs closed at 79.47, down 107. And that's the livestock market conditions. Now it's time for the Heartland Livestock Report from Yorkton. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. The Canadian Federation of Agriculture will host a National Agriculture Leaders Debate tonight. The event will bring together the Minister of Agriculture, as well as the agriculture critics and representatives from each national party. CFA First Vice President Keith Curry says although the debate questions will focus on the priority issues for farmers, it's important to note the role agriculture plays in the Canadian economy.
Food food and agriculture is a common thread from coast to coast to coast here in Canada, and certainly has a large influence and impact on our economy. We have nearly 1 in 8 people working in the agri-food industry, and from our primary food production, the fact that we're self-sustainable and are exporting food, we're a big part of the economy of this country. So it's important to gather all the parties together to make sure that they understand the importance of agriculture and to find out where their positions are on various aspects of our industry.
The debate will focus on key issues, including the environment and climate change.
Certainly, as we know, climate change is affecting us all, and as farmers and ranchers in this country, we actually have a positive role to play, and so we're looking for that partnership role from the next government that's formed on how we can move forward and really dive into not only pricing, but when you do anything environmentally, it doesn't just do it in isolation on the farm. We do things like sequestering carbon, but we also have multiple cool environmental benefits that go along with that. So we're looking, you know, on that front as to where the position of the parties are.
Other topics to be discussed will include business risk management programs, research, and infrastructure.
What we need going forward in the country, research plays a big role in that. Where are the parties at on that? Infrastructure priorities, do we know what kind of investments parties are looking to make for rural Canada and our agriculture industry? And if you looked at our Producing Prosperity campaign from the previous election, very similar themes along that line with respect to infrastructure in particular. And then, of course, I'm sure as we get going in the debate, we'll talk about what really impacts us going forward, and that is the next policy framework for agriculture, which is due to come into place in 2023. That will certainly play a big role.
The debate begins at 6 o'clock Manitoba time tonight, 5 o'clock Saskatchewan time. The link to watch the broadcast can be found on the CFA website. It's time now for the Commodities Update, and that's a presentation of Ray Nordine, your REMAX Bridge City Realty agent.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures closed down across the board today. November canola closed at $852.70, down $28.80. January canola closed at $842.70, down $23.40. December Minneapolis wheat closed at $872.50, down 22 cents. December Kansas City wheat closed at $682.75, down 22 cents. December Chicago wheat closed at $692.25, down 17.25 cents. December corn closed at $5.10 per bushel, down 0.25 cents. November soybeans closed at $12.70.5, down 9 cents. December oats closed at $4.87.5, down 11.25 cents. And that's the commodities update. A farmer southeast of White City says her harvest is nearly done. Janet Kuntz and crew farm 2,200 acres.
It's going pretty good. We hope to be done possibly tomorrow sometime. So other than the rain that held us up, things have been going fairly well.
What percentage of your crop is in the bin then?
It's got to be, say, 90.
How are yields so far?
They're actually surprisingly good. They're average. Some is a bit below average and some is a little higher than average, but for the year we had hail and frost, so I think things are going pretty good.
How bad was the hail?
Some of the storms are like loony size, but I think the highest we had was maybe 30%, so not a total loss, but everything hurts. We've had about 13.5 inches, but probably 4 of those have been, you know, past harvest needs.
So did the drought hurt your crop production this year?
It had some effect. I think the high heat we had in July was worse. That kind of shut things down for a few weeks.
What was your best crop and what was your worst?
The lentils seem to have done pretty well. I think barley was a little below average, and canola is kind of about average, so wheat did pretty good.
And what's your reaction to the grain markets right now?
Well, I hope they keep staying high. You know, the farmers always need a boost this time of year and all the times. But I'm pretty sure the input prices are going to match that price pretty soon, too.
Janet Kuntz farms southeast of White City. Please stay tuned. We'll have last night's Supper in the Field winner next.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Faulkner. Our Week 5 winner of the Harvest Edition of GX 94 Supper in the Field was Courtney Orthner of Raymore. I asked Courtney how long he's been farming.
I started farming in 2002. We have a mixed farm. I farm around 3,000 acres, and I have about around 70 head of mixed breed beef cattle, just a commercial herd. Don't have any employees, just my mom and my dad still help me, so I basically do it all myself. The dad's the gopher kind of thing, you know, he does the harrowing, does the rolling, and they both drive combines, so they're and I do the trucking, and it seems to work really well, so they're still well enough to do it, and I put enough toys and gadgets on all their machines now, they just sit there and just drive up and down, they don't even steer, don't do anything anymore, so they're which is good. I would like it too. When I do get a chance, I drive them in the morning. It's nice to just sit there, you just push the button, and then you can watch the combine modern, you know, you can watch more things by having that technology, so it makes it less stressful of a day for them to keep working, because they're both small. Mom just turned 70, dad is almost 70, so
you've said 3,000 acres. What did you seed this year?
I seed mainly canola, wheat, a little bit of peas, and just a little bit of silage barley that I use for my cattle. I've given up on hay about 10 years ago and just ripped it all up, and or sold it, ripped it up, and then we just rely on one quarter of barley silage to we wrap it with the bale wrapper, and we use that, and the cows do really well, and it's just you're basically done in a day and a half kind of thing. 2 days of work and you're done, you got your feed up in good quality, and it is a good quality feed. The peas, we had hail this year through the south farm, where my main farm is. They got the peas probably about 60 to 75%, so they started regrowing, so then they potted again, and they actually have decent, but then you've basically it just made a mess, because you lost half of what was there is still kind of there, and it's probably going to pop up when you try to combine it. And but I'm lucky my uncle and a lot of other neighbors got a lot worse. Like he got 100% on basically two-thirds of his farm just beside me, but I just caught the very edge of it, caught me, so I was lucky that way. But the canola reflowered again, stuff like that, and those wonderful hail insurance guys, they always win the games, so they tell you that it's going to come back. Oh, it's flowering, oh, it's still got time to make it. Yeah, now that I've swathed it, yeah, the middle of the field, there wasn't much left. It took a real beat, and there's just sticks left. It never did come back again, so I'm expecting that one. Hopefully if it does 10, I'm happy. You know, and the rest, we're lucky we've had a fair bit of rain showers here. We've had a good start. We had a lot of snow near the start of seeding. We had almost 3 inches of rain and snow kind of right near the end of third week of May, I guess it was, so we got shut down. But then that was also a blessing to have it. The stuff I'm combining today was seeded June 1st, because we had to wait till it, you know, for all the snow and everything else about it. And because of that, it's a very way better crop up here. Like we actually have straw to bale and stuff like that at home. You couldn't even bale it. It was so short, so raw, and you couldn't even bale behind the combine. So we're lucky that way. So I'm not going to complain anything about my yields. We're lucky to get what we get. We're way fortunate compared to a lot of people in this province. So
whereabouts are you in your harvest? Are you like halfway done or not quite yet? Or?
No, we're just getting started. It's just like we were telling you before, they just kept getting showers all the time. And again, because this stuff was seeded on June 1st, so it was just ready when we got to it last Tuesday. Then we got inch and 3/10 of rain that night in like 15 minutes. It just come and hammered us. And it took, like, we tried it Friday, it was 18, Saturday was 17. And it probably was ready Sunday, but we don't work on Sundays. We went to the Labor Day Classic instead. And well, that was terrible too, but it's nice not to work, to get away from the farm for one day and just relax and go check your cows, you'll do things like that. So but we basically have, I guess we'd have about 4 or 5 quarters off out of 21, so So we're just getting started nicely. So this.
That's our winner of GX94 Supper in the Field yesterday, Courtney Orthner of Raymore. Our sponsors for GX94 Supper in the Field are KFC Yorkton, Smith Steel, Yorkton Ag and Auto Supply, Razor's Pub and Razor's Cellar at the Yorkton Hotel and Coors Light, Pattison Liquid Systems, Sask Milk, and Crop Pro Consulting SWAT Maps. It's time now for your agriculture weather, and that's a presentation of Ducks Unlimited. The GX94 Precision Weather Forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Partly sunny, winds south-southeast at 20 to 35 and a high of 25 degrees. For tonight, partly to mainly cloudy, winds west-northwest at 10 to 20 and a low of 13. For tomorrow, a mix of sun and cloud, winds northwest at 20 to 40 and a high of 24. Saturday, partly sunny, winds west-northwest at 10 to 20 and a high of 18. For Sunday, partly sunny, a high of 19. Monday, a 30% chance of early showers, then partly sunny, a high of 20. In the Paw, Swan River, Dauphin, Shoal Lake, Russell, and Roblin, it's 21 degrees. Brandon is at 18. Regina, 23. Saskatoon, 18. Hudson Bay, 22. Broadview, Mooseman, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, 25. Indian Head, 27. The Yorkton Melville region has a sunny sky, a south-southeast wind at 22 kilometers an hour. 40% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 23 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
CJGX, serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.